tweet at TodaySOR.
Mary Lou McDonald, good morning. Thank you for coming to the studio. You heard Leo Varadkar yesterday and just now Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil, saying they will not do business with Sinn Féin after the election. And Micheál Martin making the point just now that, look, you know, Sinn Féin people in office have this track record as laid out by that book about the Renewable Heat Initiative by the correspondent from the Belfast Telegraph, that you defer to people outside unelected people in the organisation before you'll take decisions.
Well, can I just say firstly, Sean, that as we speak, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste are travelling up to Belfast where they will warmly greet and shake the hands of Sinn Féin ministers in government, the Joint First Minister Michelle O'Neill, the Finance Minister Conor Murphy, the Minister for Communities Deirdre Hargey. And I think their utter hypocrisy on this point has to be called out. On the one hand, insisting that Sinn Féin is part of government in the north, a position, by the way, that I share. And I'm very, very pleased that we have managed to re-establish what I hope will
Northern
be
Northern Ireland is not
good
a
government
natural
in the
or
north.
A normal political entity.
I am well aware of that.
And special rules have to apply. Deal with the point that is brought out in Sam McBride's book about the Renewable Heat Initiative, that Martin O'Mullor was deferring to people outside, unelected
look,
people before
everybody,
decisions were taken.
Everybody in elected office has people around them that advise them and that support them. I mean, I think was it one of Micheál Martin's governments that introduced this idea of special advisers for precisely that point? So there's nothing unusual in a minister in any government or from any party looking for guidance and for advice.
And is it as simple
advice.
As that? Is the
it is as simple as that.
As opposed to permission?
No. It is absolutely as simple as that. And, you know, we have government ministers now in the north. And you're right, the north is different. It's not a natural political entity. The power sharing arrangement is unique for all of the historical reasons that you and I know. But it's also, bear in mind, the epicentre of the conflict that happened. So surely to goodness, if Sinn Féin can govern in partnership with the DUP, with people that we still have profound political differences with people who we had to, all of us, jointly reach out and build a collective platform where we could make decisions and show leadership. How on earth is it logical? How on earth is it logical to then say, but Sinn Féin isn't good enough to be in government in the South? But the bigger point is this. And the reason why I have been so strong in rejecting an attempt by Micheál Martin or Leo Varadkar to set aside Sinn Féin has less to do with me or our elected people and has everything to do with the people that we represent.
Okay, so
because
if the policies
in insulting and setting us aside, they are, in fact, really taking a very, very hostile stance to the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who vote for us and who are perfectly entitled to the same representation and the same opportunity to have their elected representative and their voice
the
at the decision making.
If the policies can be negotiated to your satisfaction, that of your party and your supporters, are you prepared to enter government with either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil?
If we can land at a space where we have a Republican programme for government, then Sinn Féin will be in the business of entering government. I mean, I've made it clear repeatedly that after the next election, I will talk to everybody. I will listen to everybody because I think that's what adults do.
So
I don't like the politics of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael.
Do you believe Leo Varadkar and do you believe Micheál Martin when they say they will not do business with
you? But look,
you?
It's not even a question of whether or not I believe them. I can't read their minds. I've heard them repeat ad nauseum, parroting the same line that they don't like Sinn Féin and they don't want Sinn Féin. I'm not surprised by that. I hear that. I heard it the first time. I'm not surprised that they don't want us about the place because they know full well, Sean, that we will actually bring change, that we will do things differently, that we're not a pushover. And of course, the political establishment doesn't want their cosy consensus upset.
How confident, though, Mary Lou McDonald, can you be about a good outcome for Sinn Féin in this upcoming election? Bearing in mind what happened as recently as last May, June, where you lost a huge number of council seats. You had won 159 council seats in 2014. That dropped to 81 last year. Now, you know, have you analysed and brought forward measures in the party to turn the tide back on that?
Yes, we have, is the short answer. That was absolutely a very bruising day out for all of us. And we took immediate and direct action to turn things around. And I think you saw the beginning of the evidence of that in the by-elections that we fought in December, where, of course, we took a seat. Bear in mind, that's only the second time Sinn Féin has ever won a by-election. And we turned out a very, very strong result in Cork North Central with Tommy Gould and indeed in Wexford. So, yes, we have taken measures.
But
I'm not complacent, Sean,
I think you've
for a moment.
23 seats. If those local election results were to be repeated, you could be looking at the loss of up to 10 of those 23 seats.
Well, look, I don't countenance that. We will run a campaign that is very much about talking directly to people on the doorsteps. I'm not interested in high rhetoric and hot air, much of which you have heard from Micheál Martin. We'll be on doorsteps talking to people about the things that matter, primarily housing, health, as you discussed, and other issues, putting money back in people's pockets. We'll ask people for their support. We'll run a very, very strong campaign. And then I'm not arrogant. You have to work for and secure every vote and every seat. But I do not foresee the kind of doomsday scenario that you've put to me there. We had a very bad day. We learned lessons.
Why do you think it happened, by the way?
I think it happened for a number of reasons. I think our political messaging and positioning became confused. You see, at a time of peak austerity, brought to you by Fianna Fáil and then Fine Gael, when people were getting hit really, really hard, they knew that they could rely on Sinn Féin to stand up for them and to fight back. And that's what we did.
Said, the IMF can, you know, that's what we did. Off and keep their money. You know, we don't. In fact, that was the formula, painful and all as it was.
Sean,
that got us where we are now.
Sean, what we said is that the Irish people for generations to come should not be saddled with the debts of others, with odious debt. We stood up for people then. Then things changed. The political and economic climate changed. People were hearing that there was a recovery, even though they're not experiencing it in their own pocket. And I think it raised the question, in that scenario, what is Sinn Féin all about? So we have very consciously, as really the de facto party of opposition, we very consciously held the government to account, but we have also just shifted the balance in our messaging and in our discourse to make it clear to people that we actually have proposals, solutions, policy.
Yeah,
do
you think any party is going to be believed on the health question, given the difficulties, given the fact that huge extra amounts of money have been invested or put in the way of the health services with every budget, and there's no sense that there's a solution that's going to be there in the next 4 or 5 years. Is it a question of the parties maybe uniting around going back to this launch care document and saying that's what we'll go with?
More than a decade ago, in one of our election manifestos, we made the case for a cross-party consensus on the issue of health. Sláinte Care has now come to fruition, and that provides certainly a basis for advancement. The truth is, you are not sorting out health overnight, and anybody who pretends that's the case is just being misleading. Our system is broken. It's inefficient, it's expensive, it's confused and incoherent between public provision and private medicine. And ultimately, we need to sort that out. Ultimately, Sean, we need an Irish National Health Service. It needs to be all island in its scope.
You would presumably
and that
welcome
is going
Simon
to take time.
Recent announcement that no more private work would be available to newly appointed
that
consultants.
That is long overdue. That is long overdue. But that, in many respects, is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I listened to Micheál Martin again talk about the treatment purchase fund for relieving waiting lists. And of course, it does that in the short term. People who desperately need treatment are pleased to get it. But don't lose sight of the fact that again, is money into the pocket of private medicine. And we have to, as a society...
Yeah, it's new knees into the legs of patients who've been waiting
far too long.
And new hips.
Let me acknowledge that and having cataracts removed, and so I get that and I understand that, but you're asking me how do you fix the health system, and the way ultimately that we will fix the health system is by building a public health system that works for one and all. That will not be done overnight, but in the first instance, it does mean that we need to resource the system that we have, the public system, properly. And I have week in, week out, raised the issue of people lying on trolleys, people having procedures cancelled, including many very sick children. And I have listened very closely to the nurses, to the doctors, all of whom say the system is straining at the seams. We don't have enough beds. And the response from Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris and others has been to say beds are not the issue, when they very clearly are. So there are a number of immediate things that need to be done, but the longer trajectory is about building public health, and that will take a term of government. It might even take two.
You mentioned earlier about the Taoiseach and Simon Coveney on the way, and happy to shake hands of your colleagues who are now taking up their position as ministers in the restored executive. Presumably you'll expect, and there's been an indication of this, the British Prime Minister to open his chequebook, the nurses' strike, health top priority there as well. Do you have any ideas of the kind of figure Boris Johnson is going to make available and his treasury?
Well, no. I mean, pay parity was broken for health workers, and they quite rightly have striked. I mean, it was unprecedented action, and we've said consistently that the first act of the new executive needs to be to restore pay parity. We are still in talks with the Secretary of State and, by extension, the Treasury to establish exactly concretely what kind of figures they're talking about. And can I say this? Having gotten over the very substantial hurdles, and God, it's been a very frustrating 3 years to get to where we needed to be, and I'm delighted that we got there. But now that we have reached agreement on issues of good governance and rights and so on, it's absolutely imperative that the desperately needed cash injection is made. We've had 10 years of Tory austerity in the North. It's been utterly devastating. The executive needs to get about its business, but it can't do it with its hands tied behind its back.
The Taoiseach said that the uproar and the controversy over the now deferred RIC commemoration has set back United Ireland. Do you agree?
Absolutely not. And I think that is for Leo Varadkar to spectacularly miss the point. You see, you're only going to build Irish unity on the basis of certainly understanding our collective history and the nuances of it, but also by respecting those that in the first instance stood up and fought for our freedom. Like, Leo Varadkar wouldn't be Taoiseach, Simon Coveney wouldn't be Taoiseach, there'd be no government in Dublin except for the people who fought the Black and Tans and who actually took a stand for Irish freedom. So what the government proposed to do, and it's not about individual family members who served in the RIC or the Metropolitan Police, because very many Irish families have those loved ones, and of course they remember them and respectfully remember them.
And should the state
respect them as well? No, the state should not commemorate that organisation. And I heard it, for me, put most succinctly actually on this station yesterday in conversation with Brendan O'Connor, where a contributor said the state proposed to commemorate an ideology of oppression, an ideology that said that Ireland should not be free or independent.
That's how
broad swathes of the population read it, and it's very instructive. And I think the political establishment need to listen up and take note. Irish people are very proud of our history, and we're very proud of people who stood up and who were prepared to take a stand for democracy.
Where would a border poll figure in any negotiations you would have about entering government?
A border poll and planning for constitutional change is at the core of our political task. And I think for any responsible politician, whoever is Taoiseach, whichever person happens to enter government buildings with that title, if they are responsible, if they are thoughtful, they need to start planning for Irish reunification, because it's on its way, Sean.
How realistic is the prospect of Mary Lou McDonald being tarnished at the end of government formation after this election?
Well, that's not what it's about for me. I'm not about pomp and office and circumstance. That's not. If I were, I would have made very different career choices. But I think certainly Sinn Féin is a party that is ready and capable for government.
Okay.
We have very, very able people on our front bench who could dispense the duties of ministers very effectively. But this is about whether or not the other parties are prepared to walk the line and land on a programme for government that actually sorts out the housing crisis and that actually puts a few bob into the pockets of families and workers
we'll
week to week
again
struggle and struggle.
Like
I'm
that.
Sure
Mary
we will.
McDonald, Sinn Féin, President and TD for Dublin Central. Thanks, Sinead, for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.